1 minute. Baptists aren't allowed to start early. You know that as well as anybody. Okay. Well, it matches mine. Good afternoon. It's good to see you all. There is a little bit of overlap in the beginning from my last session to this one. So I apologize for a little bit of repetition for those of you that were there. And for those of you that weren't there, you'll be fine having missed it. We'll get to all this. The title is The Educational Establishment Strikes Back. In the last presidential election, there were a number of educational issues that were front and center in the election. And conservatives rallied around that. We won the election in nationally in all kinds of levels, all kinds of ways. And so many of our people thought, this is great. This war is over. And some positive things have happened. The president has signed an executive order outlawing the teaching of critical race theory, an executive order that virtually every educational institution is ignoring. And he's taken steps towards removing the Department of Education. The educational establishment's absolutely convinced he'll lose control of Congress in a few months, and the only issue will be impeachment, and that the Department of Education's disestablishment will never be fully carried out. He signed an order against the omnigender revolution being promoted by the schools, which is almost entirely ignored, and there are battles being fought over that. If I could, I would make every pastor read two absolutely terrible, horrible books, as I mentioned in the last hour. They're terrible books. One I have right here, Why Fascists Fear Teachers, and based on by Randy Weingarten, head of the American Federation of Teachers, who has been very active in the Chicago area where I live. And you have to understand, this book completely redefines fascism. You are all fascists, according to this book. Charlie Kirk was a fascist. President Trump is a fascist. Every Republican is a fascist. Every homeschooler is a fascist. Everybody who has their children in private schools are fascists. And the other side of fascism is the teachers' union. And then, but to give you an idea of what we're up against, there's a book called The Omnigender Revolution that most people have not been aware of, but it's a call for replacing a society built on the idea of two genders. You know, this ridiculous, outmoded, unscientific idea that there are two genders, men and women, and replace it with omni, meaning all gender. There can be just as many genders as you choose, or for that matter, as many species as you choose, which is where the furry movement comes from. Well, a lot of our folks have rejoiced that the educational establishment, let me explain what I mean when I call that. Educational establishment consists of school administrative personnel, teaching faculty, teachers, union officials, political activists, curriculum publishers, local, state, and federal lawmakers, and their staffs. They see themselves as the priesthood of our day, the repositories of all knowledge, the people whose job it is to see everyone, all the children are trained in that which they need to be trained. On the other side is anybody who opposes their perspective, who are by definition fascists. Now that's been thrust into every conversation over the last few days. In the name of that construct that we're all fascists, we just saw the first political assassination in our country in 50 years, and probably the first assassination carried out in the name of saving America from fascism. And the as we've looked at the response, whether you were familiar with or cared about the programs of Charlie Kirk or not, you quickly realize they're talking about us. And you quickly realize there's an awful lot of folks who aren't very sad or sad at all, who think this is a joke, or who think it's wonderful. And people are realizing they would feel exactly the same way if it was me or you. So the educational establishment in the minds of many was defeated last November. They did lose some money, no question. They did lose some prestige. They did lose some power. They are far from dead. They have not given up by any stretch of the imagination, and they still intend to impose their view of the world on all of our society. They are, if anything, more committed to that than ever. They have not gone away. And we see this, and again, this was written weeks ago, and we see this in a number of different ways, in which I could add assassination, violence, school shootings to this material. These are not isolated events. These are the natural results of people believing the things that we're talking about. Well, their agenda. They promote a new culture to replace America's historic Christian culture. America's culture was established by the Christian worldview. It was not always perfectly carried out. Nothing done by human beings is. Sometimes that Christian worldview was pretty badly mangled. But nonetheless, it was the general framework. And it created a society with more freedom and prosperity than any in the history of the world. It created a society with freedom and prosperity that played the key role in preventing Nazi and Japanese imperialism from taking the world, that played the key role in keeping communism from taking the world. But that is what they think is evil, and it must be replaced. And the educational establishment is controlled. Yeah, there are individuals here and there that don't feel this way. They have increasingly less importance. That it's the educational establishment's job to replace that culture. And so everybody trying to replace that culture is good and noble, and anyone trying to hang on to that culture is a fascist. And you can analyze that culture through four issues. The omnigender revolution that we mentioned. Most Americans, at least until the last few days, didn't even know what was going on. There's an organized movement to completely replace the culture of our country. We thought these were strange people who just wanted to go off in a corner and do what they wanted to do. And even though we might have thought it was bizarre or ridiculous, it's America. If you want to go off in a corner and be bizarre and ridiculous, you can. That was never the case. They want the culture. They don't even want us to be the people who go off and do our different things, Christianity. They want the culture. They want a culture built on the idea that a creator God did not create us, because in the beginning made he them male and female. You know? They want an omnigender culture. And we're seeing the aspects of that here and there as we just in this assassination that grabbed everybody's attention. The assassin believed he was striking a blow against fascism for the omnigender revolution. In the shooting of the Catholic school in Minneapolis a few days ago, the shooter thought he was striking a blow for the omnigender revolution and against fascism. You see it all over the place. This is not new. We're just now coming to grips with what has been happening. And then also Green New Deal socialism. That is socialism with this twist. Socialism is a belief in government controlling the means of production, as a result, controlling the economy. Communism, socialism is where you vote that in. Communism is where you seize the means of production. But Green New Deal socialism provides a new explanation for it. It says we have to do that or climate change will destroy the world and kill everybody. It's an absolute necessity. It's the only way we can survive. We must have socialism to protect us from climate change. Now, the logic of that's ridiculous. If it was true, the planet was burning up with global warming, socialism wouldn't fix it. But that is the advocacy, and some have gone beyond that, where you have had, when you start talking about seizing the means of production, that's not socialism, it's communism. We have a communist mayor in Los Angeles, a communist mayor in Chicago, a communist mayor in Portland, a communist mayor in Seattle, and we're just about to get a communist mayor in New York City. Now, the key to the election of every one of these communist mayors has been teacher union, money, and support. And the voting base comes from young people that the public schools have taught economics and history. Open borders. That's an essential part of the new culture because they don't like the idea of nations. Nations get in the way of things. When German Nazi socialism was going to set the world free from capitalism, other nations got in the way. When Russian communistic socialism was going to set the world free from historic Christian culture, other nations got in the way. So the concept of open borders is not to have nations that can be a problem and get in the way. And finally, critical race theory, the belief that white people are genetically oppressors and that the world has to be protected from the influence of white people, which if you saw the tragic a few days ago, the killing of the Ukrainian woman, which we all saw recorded, and the black individual that killed her said, "I got a white one on the way out." He was striking back, and there are immediately people who defended him in the name of critical race theory. If you have a chance to strike back at the oppressor, you have to. Well, this would, of course, make the educational establishment the ruling class of this new culture. To achieve these results, the establishment has to declare that children belong to the state, not the parents. For example, City Club of Chicago, this is not an old quote, June 23rd, 2025, President of the Chicago Teachers Union, David Gates, quoted James Baldwin. Baldwin says, "The children are always ours, every single one of them. Chicago Teachers Union thinks your children are its children." Yes, we do, we do, we do. Hey, children don't belong to you. They belong to the educational establishment. Or during a 2022 Teacher of the Year event, former President Joe Biden was speaking about the teaching profession. He wasn't former president then. He states, "They're all our children. And the reason you're the Teacher of the Year is because you recognize that. They're not somebody else's children. They're like yours when they're in the classroom." 2021, Biden made similar remarks while discussing the American Families Plan to highlight the need for government investment in children. "I have often said that children are the kite strings that keep our natural ambitions aloft. We say all those kids, but they're all our children. They're all our children. They are the kite strings that literally lift our national ambitions aloft. So we've got to invest them, invest in our children, to invest in our future." Educator Melissa Harry Perry stated, "We have to break with our private idea that kids belong to their parents or kids belong to their families and recognize that kids belong to the whole communities. This is the philosophy behind the famous statement that it takes the whole village to raise a child." Hillary Clinton wrote a book on that. There should be no surprise the educational establishment believes this. Hillary Clinton, as part of her plan to get elected president, wrote a book on this, a whole book on it, that children have to be raised not by their parents, but by the entire community. We've sat back like this wasn't happening, like it wasn't going on, but it was. Well, the educational establishment is striking back every way you can think of. So let me just give you some idea, some of their weapons. Drag queen shows to reinforce the omnigender revolution. I mean, being paid for taxpayer dollars. Some of them are being produced for kindergarten classes because it's very important to mold the five-year-olds to think of all this gender blending as normal. And even though the president actually issued a specific executive order forbidding drag queen shows in schools, it's consistently ignored all over the country. The next one is so important, mental health intervention. Well, that sounds good, doesn't it? That's what they immediately are saying. Well, there should have been mental health intervention to prevent the shooting in Charlie Kirk and to prevent the fellow from killing the young woman on the train. So, but we're talking about having a yearly interview where the educational establishment interviews your children to decide whether they are mentally healthy or not. And this just became law in Illinois, goes into effect next year. And in other states where this has started, one of the questions to find out whether or not you need a mental health intervention is, what have your parents told you about gender theory? If your parents have taught you there are only two genders, you're not mentally healthy. So something has to be done. That is the law in California now. The insistence of bathrooms and locker rooms in schools being used to promote the omnigender revolution. They say it's very, very important that you have unisex bathrooms so that everybody gets used to the idea that there are no distinct genders. The insistence of requiring the use of ever-changing pronouns for self-described transgender students. There have been public school teachers fired all around the United States because they refuse to call males she's or she's males. To reject the pronouns is to reject the revolution. And the educational establishment will not tolerate that. That is fascism. Exalting the collective good over parents' rights. I said, in my own private commentary, the most important issue in the last election is whose children are they? And it would look like we won that war. We did not. We won a battle. And one of the great weaknesses of conservatives is every time we win a battle, we think the war is over and we relax. Using teacher dues to promote left-wing candidates and political action committees, over $50 million in the last 2 years of teacher union dues to promote left-wing candidates, and it's being done in elections where it can make the most difference, primarily mayoral elections. They elected the communist mayor of Los Angeles, Portland, Seattle, Chicago. I had a friend among the Chicago mayoral candidates, finished third, spent $5 million of his own money to run for mayor to try and provide what would have been somewhat a conservative administration in Chicago. The teachers' unions alone outspent him drastically to elect the communist mayor that Chicago has. Making endorsements for socialist candidates for governor, mayoral, state, legislative, city council, presidential elections. Dominating school board elections. In the past, we thought of the school board as an agency to keep the teachers and the schools in line. Now the unions dominate school board elections and elect their own representatives, which someone said would be something similar to asking Al Capone to run the FBI. Promoting gender support plans, including medical treatment, without informing parents. Every school system doesn't go equally far on this. They do not do the medical procedures at the schools, but they're all connected to where they can recommend medication, anything from medication to surgery for gender support. And you've reached a point in many of these teachers' unions, I don't want to say all, but many of these teachers' unions, it is a status symbol to be able to say, you led a child in transitioning. And so they're looking for vulnerable children to tell that the reason you're unhappy is you're the wrong gender. And every happiness and fulfillment you could ever want would be yours if you would transition. And this, of course, is supported by some folks in Big Pharma, because once you try to transition, you are using huge amounts of expensive drugs the rest of your life, which, of course, they're adamant need to be paid for in healthcare programs and insurance programs. And if you think they've given up, right now, today, yesterday, today, we're not moving towards a budget because one political party is demanding, before they agree to a budget, that we reinstate $1.4 trillion of tax spending, including all the money that did just get cut for gender transition. They're saying they will not allow a budget to take place. They'll shut the government down unless they get all of that money back for gender transition. That's the debate going on this morning. Trying to prevent the transfer of Christian school and homeschool credits, there is a growing movement within the public schools to say, we will not accept credits from homeschool students or from Christian schools, to try and invalidate that education, to make parents fearful of doing that. Now, by the way, these battles have been fought for years. They're just spending a whole lot more money on it now. And a whole lot more schools are taking that position. I have been in that fight years back. Had pastoring. We had a young lady that had gone through her junior year in Christian school. She wanted to get into med school. She needed some science credits to go that path towards med school that she couldn't get in Christian school. She was going to transfer to public school for her senior year. She went to the public school. They said, we can't accept any of your credits. As far as we're concerned, you have to start over again with your freshman year of high school. And I said, let me go with you and talk to them. So I went in, and I said, first thing, hire a lawyer. None of these people want to be sued. And it worked out beautiful. I didn't plan it this way. I said, let me and the lawyer go in with you. So I go in with the parents to talk to the principal and assistant principal and explaining that we will not accept this. This young lady has constitutional rights. We will take legal steps. They're saying there's nothing you can do. The lawyer was late. He's saying there's nothing you can do. I said, no, we can take legal steps. We can sue you. They said there's not a lawyer anywhere that would take this case. And about time they called in the principal's office to say the lawyer had arrived right at that moment. Before the lawyer got in the room, they had granted all of her credits. Now, the young lady that I knew well and pastored graduated from a Christian school. She wanted to go to a secular college and major, and they said, we can't accept any of your credits because they're from a Christian school. And she met with them. They said, there's nothing you can do about it. I said, let me talk to them. I went with her and said, look, we're going to sue you. And I said, lawsuits like this have been won all across the country. I might have exaggerated slightly when I said that, but some have been won. By the time we left, they granted all our credits. They'd started by saying, we're not allowed to accept these credits, which was absolute fiction. That problem has been around for ages, but they're now spending more money on it and giving more attention to it because they want every parent to be afraid that if their children get a Christian education, it won't count and they won't be able to do anything. They're trying to get colleges to refuse to accept admission to Christian school graduates, homeschool graduates. The educational establishment sponsors lobbyists before Congress, state legislatures, and city councils. They are all over the place, high-pressuring congressional people, and threatening to call them fascists, Nazis, filing lawsuits against any attempts to reduce funding to any part of the educational establishment. And you've seen this. One of the things that's happening right now, any judge appointed by a Democrat who has dreams one day of being appointed to a higher office has to have on his record that he overruled, on a national basis, a decision by President Trump, even though there's no legal grounds for that at all. They're all expect to get overturned. That's not the point. They've got to delay this as long as possible. They have to have it on their record that they did that. So every single attempt to cut funding for any part of the attempt to overthrow America's historic culture has been ruled unconstitutional by a judge. Some of those have already been overturned. I expect they will all be overturned. But the educational establishment is not sitting back taking this lightly. They are fighting back. Filing lawsuits against any attempt by government actions to put any limits on any part of the educational establishment. So no limits. You can't tell them what books to put in the library because they say that's book banning. It denies the First Amendment. Where in the First Amendment does it say that you have to put every book in a school library? Do you realize what a challenge that would be? Every school library, somebody's making a decision what books to get, which means leaving most of the books that were ever printed out. But the educational establishment is adamant that only they get a part in the decision because, after all, the children belong to them. But what's happening all across the country, under influence from parents, you have parents saying, wait a minute, I don't want how-to books on homosexual sex in the library at the high school. Said, you have to make a decision about what books to buy. Let's buy a different book than that. And that is being fought. It's being overturned by judges. Again, probably as the processes go on, that won't continue. They're fighting those battles. Those battles got Glenn Youngkin elected governor in Virginia. But those battles have continued in Virginia in spite of his election. Again, when he got elected, people thought the fight was over. By no means has it been. Any attempt to say you cannot have this class or you cannot teach this, states, local school boards, the president himself have tried to say we will not accept the teaching that any race is genetically inferior. And that is being fought with every fiber of their being. Even the white people in the educational establishment want it to be clear that critical race theory is true, which is why on college campuses and high school campuses all over the country, they have had special times for white people to confess their guilt for being white. Insisting that all publicly school-supported libraries be open to all kinds of pornographic material. If you have a library in your community that does not have pornographic material in it, it's because it's escaped their notice. Now, one of the problems they're having is if you have pornographic material available. This goes as far back as when I was a college student. I worked my way through college working at a big public library downtown Indianapolis. And this policy started then, and so they started putting Playboy magazine and Penthouse magazine and all that in the magazine room at the library for people to come view or check out, take home, whatever. The problem was nobody ever brought them back. It was just free pornography for everybody. So when that didn't work, they set up a special room for magazines that could not be circulated. You could only come view the magazines at the library. And they had a special room. Anybody want to guess the crowd of people that hung around in that room? Stayed there for hours at a time? Now you have libraries where you can check out movies. They have all kinds of pornographic movies. And what they're adamant about is you cannot reject anything on the grounds that there's anything in it that is morally repugnant, because nothing's morally repugnant. And once you say this is not acceptable, that implies there's something that is not acceptable. Requiring the school curriculum at every level, kindergarten through grade school, promotes the core objectives of remaking American culture. We're brainwashing our youngest children in this. Again, years ago, my son's 40. This is all is not new. We thought kindergarten would not be a big deal. We'd start my son in Christian school in first grade. Some traveling to get to a Christian school. Kindergarten was handy, and it was kindergarten. So I'm picking up my son at kindergarten one day, and I bring him home. Our television has died. I've put the television out in the trash. I'm waiting for my son to get home from school. We'll go buy another television. We pull in the driveway, and he sees the TV in the trash. He starts crying. I thought, son, relax. We're going to get another TV. It'll be a better TV. It'll be a bigger. That's not what he's crying about. We had so much trash. And he looked at me, my five-year-old, and said, "You're killing the planet." Said, "American consumerism." For a five-year-old, I thought consumerism was a pretty big word. It's producing so much trash that the planet cannot handle it, and it's going to destroy all life on the planet, killing all of us. I really had a pretty good idea. Who told you this? I didn't figure it. He got it at church. I was sure he had not learned it from us. I didn't figure the other kids at school told him. His kindergarten teacher told him. And when you're five, your teacher is the next thing to God. One of our senators was talking the other day about coming home, and her seven-year-old daughter was crying, distraught. And she asked her why. And she said, "Because the planet's on fire and we're all going to die." Because they have been telling us consistently since 1983. I talked in my last session about global cooling and how we got rid of that one. But since 1983, they've been telling us every single year we only have 10 years to live till global warming is going to destroy all life on the planet. And then in 1984, we only had 10 years to live. In 1985, we only had 10 years to live. And I've heard it repeated within the last few days, we only have 10 years to live. And I found myself asking, how long will we go before somebody figures out there's a problem with being told every year for 43 years, 42 years, I guess it is now, being told every year we only have 10 years to live. At some point, does somebody ask, what's wrong with this story? What is the problem with this? And people are asking. A recent poll showed now that less than 50% of the American people believe that in global warming, in a sense that is a threat to continued human existence. Like we just woke up to got it. All of a sudden in the last couple years, and especially in the last 2 weeks, people are starting to ask questions. Here's another aspect. They're insisting that students be involved in activist programs they do not understand. Every school is supposed to be a center for change. And every student is supposed to be an activist. So they will take students to programs, tell the students what to say, give them the signs to carry, and then they will tell you that our students are all demanding gun control. Our students are all demanding that we do something about climate warming, climate change, like, you know, giving up air conditioning. I do not believe a single one of the people demanding that we give up air conditioning, by the way, is themselves going to give up air conditioning. It's the masses that need to give up air conditioning. You all got it? These folks did not surrender at the last presidential election, even though they suffered repudiation. Kamala Harris was mentioning these things in every presidential speech. I preached in Michigan the week before the election, not far from here. The billboards were everywhere. I never saw such a political advertising. And all these things got mentioned endlessly. And it got rejected. So in the minds of many of our people, we won. We did. It's like winning the first quarter of a basketball game. But if you go to sleep after that, what happens? They have not backed off. For them, this is their religion. It is their purpose for living. The educational establishment, yes, I know there's individuals, fewer and fewer, more and more isolated. They're individuals that don't go along with the establishment. They just wanted to teach, especially in the trade areas and all that. I get that. But I'm talking about the establishment as a block. This is their religion. This is their purpose. This is the reason they think schools exist. And again, you could go through Mrs. Weingarten, and she would tell you, yes, I say, of course, the purpose of schools teach reading, writing, and arithmetic, but also to teach values. Whose values? Values have to come from somewhere. To teach true history. What do you think she means by true history? That what we learned about America and being a force for good in the world was all a lie? That's got to be corrected. To teach people how to live. And in their mind, we did not create this cultural war. I know fundamental Baptists, evangelical Christians in general, we would just like to be left alone. We like to have our families, our jobs, and our churches, and have the rest of the world leave us alone, and we would leave them alone. And when we did interact, it was on one point, the gospel. And glory to God, that is a great thing. I am saved today. I am a bus kid because somebody came to my house with the purpose of interacting on the gospel, got me to church. I heard the gospel. I found Christ as my Savior. It is the most glorious thing in the world. But understand, there is no place for our preaching of the gospel in the culture and the world that they envision. And they got a little too bold in announcing their intentions and their objectives. And if you wake up the American people, they react against this kind of thing. And they got just woke up enough to send messages about this all across the country in November. And went right back to sleep. And then now over the last few days, within an 8-day period, the school shooting by someone who is inscribing transgender messages on the bullets, followed by the murder in the name of critical race theory that was caught on video, and everyone could see it. They could see the poor young woman stabbed. They could see the look on her face as she realized she was about to be stabbed the second time. And then a political assassination over someone who addressed these issues and violated the norm, which said when you're addressing these issues, you must keep it separate from the gospel. He addressed these issues and combined it with the gospel. All of a sudden, more than I've ever seen, the American people are awake again. I did not envision that when I planned to speak on this or I wrote this. If I had, I would have listed included among their weapons stabbing, shootings. I mean, the implied threat has been there for a long time, but it's not implied anymore. Anybody has a Christian school today had better be very, very concerned about security. You understand, in Minnesota, where the school shooting took place, they have very specifically upgraded security at all the public schools in Minnesota, taxpayer money. And the appeal was made, would you provide security for the private schools? And under the influence of the teachers' union, they said, we're not providing any security for private schools. None. Why? Because they're not part of the program. Those kids don't matter. I mean, do those kids' parents pay taxes? Private school kids don't matter in terms of safety. I will say this. I pastored in Chicago for 11 years. We had a Christian school. Chicago had a program where a police officer was assigned to every school. I will give them credit, at least at that point in space and time. They assigned a police officer to every private school as well. We had our own police officer who checked on us on a regular basis, who came by every day, who checked with what we were doing for security, who was available to talk to us and give us counsel. And it didn't matter in the least in that program at that time that we were a private school. They called him our security resource officer. We appreciated our security resource officer. If there was a hint of a problem, we could call the security resource officer. And our kids' safety mattered just as much as the ones in public school. I give them all the credit in the world for that. I do not know if they still have that program. We know for a fact they don't have that program in Minnesota. We just found out the hard way. Educational establishment has not surrendered. They do not see themselves as beaten. As far as they're concerned, they have not yet begun to fight. They're going to do everything possible to advance these ideas, not in terms of fair debate and trying to get the American people to decide which way you want to go. They will label us as fascists, Nazis, would-be Hitlers. And as they do that, some people are going to believe it. You understand what we just saw happen? The school shooter believed the political propaganda that comes from the educational establishment. This is no longer a debate. The killer on the train believed in the arguments of critical race theory. This is no longer a debate. The assassin believed in the arguments of the educational establishment as formulated by our political leaders. He believed he was defending his transgender friends against the fascists who do not believe what is taught by the educational establishment. And we've heard prominent public figures make these statements over the last few days that make what I have said sound like nothing in terms of stating the seriousness of the problem that we face. So, man, what are we going to do? Well, let's see. Taxpayers fund the education establishment with about $878 billion annually. $878 billion annually. That's not their total income. That's their income provided by taxpayers. Tuition into colleges and all those kind of things is additional income on top of that. Grants from foundations is income on top of that. The amount they get from taxpayers is about 50% of their total spending. But taxpayers provide $878 billion annually to educational establishment. Well, last few days we've seen something interesting that illustrates this point that I wrote weeks ago. When public school teachers, examples of it all around the country, begin to rejoice in the assassination of Charlie Kirk, parents begin to react in a way they had never expected. We're not going to send our kids to a school where the teacher is rejoicing in murder. I don't know about you, but that doesn't sound that radical an idea to me. And these schools all get paid by the student. And so they started firing teachers that were advocating murder. Because if they didn't, they would lose money. You know what their weakness is? Money. And taxpayer money. All of this is, so we creationists provided arguments that defeated the evolution movement years ago. Except for the fact we still spend billions of dollars of taxpayer money every year teaching evolution. This movement that wishes to be the royal priesthood, the masters of America, the ones who decide what our culture is about, what we teach and what we believe, has one weakness. They're totally dependent on taxpayer money. Which means every time we take a child out of the public schools, you have not only benefited that child, you've weakened their movement. It means every time you challenge them and say, our community will not accept this, you can think it's critically important that junior high kids have access to pornographic books in their library. You can think that all you want to, but we'll cut off the library funding. Say, well, you people don't get to talk because you send your kids to a Christian school. We're not talking as school parents. My son's 40. He graduated a long time ago. I'm a taxpayer. We have power as taxpayers. And there are states that say they will not listen to that because the kids don't belong to us. They belong to the educational establishment. But they all share the same weakness. They are terrified of losing their taxpayer funding. This is what, in every creative way we can think of, we need to think about, we need to address, we need to deal with, we need to challenge, we need to ask questions, and we need to be willing to say this: you are not our masters, you are our employees. And if you are not worthy employees, we choose to fire you. That's been done quite prominently in the last few days. All over the place, even in the educational establishment. Texas just withdrew the certification of 100 teachers because of their fear of a taxpayer revolution overpaying teachers like that, which means they really can't get up and rejoice in murder Monday morning in a school. The educational establishment wants your children. I don't mean they want to teach them reading, writing, arithmetic. You probably wouldn't have much trouble if they taught them reading, writing, arithmetic. They want your children. They were not beaten in November only in the sense of having lost a battle. The war is raging more than ever. We can pretend it's not there, or we can face it and look for wisdom and the guidance of God in how to deal with it. God bless y'all.